What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Take a knee and say, is it our father, they say? Is it
one of the hits?
I never understood why this isn't match fixing. If that's what's going on, then why is it not match fixing?
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
The GA Director of Finance stood up last night to address the treasurers of the various county boards, and he basically put a death knell in the in Proposal B that we've been discussing over the last little while. And just to give you the details from that, saying last night, Croke Park saying that Conor O'Donoghue's estimates of 18,000 plus, which he told us were based as in terms of attendances, that he said were based on the 2018-19 games. Croke Park saying that those numbers are wrong, that they'd be more in the region of 8,000 to 9,000, so about half of that, which is a huge differential when you think about it. Now, Conor O'Donoghue did say that there was loads of room for manoeuvre within his estimates, that if they came in significantly lower, that would still make money, at least as much as it had been making. Croke Park also saying that Conor O'Donoghue didn't take into account the juvenile and other concessions. Croke Park saying that they see gates going up in Proposal B by 20%, so that attendances will be up, I should say, rather than gates, will be up by 20%, but that won't increase revenue. So that was the essence of what the Director of Finance was saying last night when he addressed the treasurers of the various county boards. It's obviously a really interesting development, given that we're 8 days out from the Special Congress, which will take place to vote on whether it's Proposal A, which there's really no sort of right thinking, it doesn't seem, advocate for at the minute. Proposal B, which there's a big weight behind, the GPA have come out in full force. We've had several speakers on, weighty names in the GA have been on over the last few weeks who've really endorsed Proposal B, and then obviously status quo is the last one, which it seems, and last night's utterances in relation to the finances would endorse the idea that that's what Croke Park want to go with, at least for now. And look, it does beg some questions on from the address last night. The GA obviously had set up this special task force, and you would have to ask the question as to why it's taken so long for them to come to a position where we can get some insight into the finances. I think a lot of this had come from Brian McAvoy's, the Ulster Secretary, who was on with GA about 10 days ago. A lot of this had come from there, in that he was saying he hadn't seen any of the finances around it. Then Conor O'Donoghue, who was part of that task force, came out and explained in great detail as to where their estimates had come from around that. So you do wonder then, obviously that's potentially what's prompted the GAA to come out now and give their side of it, and to say that actually those really aren't the finances, and that the GAA wouldn't be any better off by going with Proposal B. So, but you do wonder, you ask the question as to whether, why it's taken so long. You absolutely have to assume that the top brass at Croke Park, they obviously have the best of the games in mind, you know, very good GA people. You do wonder, though, why it's taken until 8 days out from the Special Congress to get full sight of, and even at that, it's not really full sight of the numbers, because I watched back the Conor O'Donoghue piece from yourselves during the week on, where he was talking about the unexplored nature of the media rights. Like, I wonder why they're unexplored. Like, why are we leaving to chance this huge factor in whether Proposal B could be a success or not?
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of guesswork when it comes to what we're talking about here, and that does remove the possibility of us coming to some sort of conclusion in this debate that's emerged about whether or not this thing would be financially worthwhile. I think what last night, in terms of what Jerome O'Ryan is saying, it would suggest, if you're taking everything that he says and running with it, it would suggest that Proposal B will be of no financial difference to the status quo. So the financial factor is negligible. So he has not come out and said this is going to be a financial catastrophe for the GAA. He has come out and said, no, there will not be the 10 million euro increase across provinces and across Central Council as a result of Proposal B. So I think that distinction is important to make, first of all. So it almost removes the financial aspect. He is saying that it'll essentially be, you'll break even, from this new thing. So then it becomes a football decision, maybe, if you take what he has said and run with it. Now, maybe that's a little bit of a weak argument, so maybe you need to get into what he's actually saying.
Look at it, that is, and it's worth just lingering on for a second, because it is worth... it's worth discussion. Like, it's an interesting point in that he's not saying this is suddenly going to result in, you know, a 10 million windfall for the GEA. I think everybody's being, you know, Conor Dunne was certainly, it seemed to me, holding himself in the bridle of estimates, right? Like, I think he used the word conservative quite a bit. It was quite clear from that piece that his feeling was that actually it would do much more even than he was saying. But if you take the GPA bit of wanting fairness, development and change, and with Jeremy Ryan saying that you know, the Plan B would hold the status quo, let's call it, in terms of the financial side of things, but it would obviously address the fairness, development and change element. So it still makes a pretty strong case, right, for even, you know, even taking into account what the statement last night, it still makes a pretty strong case for Proposal B.
It does, of course. But I think then what you need to drill down into as well is what's actually being put forward. Why is he saying that this will only lead to finances breaking even, or maybe just a slight reduction, or basically the negligible response on a financial level? And one of his key points from what he's saying is on O'Donoghue's figures being inflated. He says the use of average attendance of Super 8 games in 2018 and 19... He was criticised, and I'm quoting from John Fogarty's piece in The Examiner, by the way, when average league attendances in Division 1 of 8,000 to 9,000 were considered as a more realistic metric in modelling the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship League in summer. His numbers not reflecting juvenile and other concessions were also highlighted. So there's two points there. The first thing is the difference between the Super 8s and Division 1. So Conor O'Donoghue did use Super 8s figures to predict how many people would show up on average to Division 1 of the league as championship format, rather than using the National League. And I think that's absolutely fair enough. Like, I absolutely do. Like, there is definitely a case to be made that the Super 8s are a greater indicator of what a league in the summertime will provide attendance-wise than the National League will, for a whole host of obvious reasons. One of the like very obvious ones is that a lot of counties actually use smaller grounds, and they'll have bigger grounds available to them in the summer when they feel that they can actually get 20, 30,000 people in there. Like, I even just parsing through some of the figures last night, this is a completely incomplete list, because A, it's hard to find attendance figures for a lot of things, and B, it was late and I wanted to go to bed before compiling this last night. But like, you look at the last couple of meetings between Kerry and Mayo, for example, in both competitions. National League in Castlebar last year drew a crowd of 8,000 people. The last time they met in the Super 8s, which was in Killarney the previous year, drew a crowd of over 31,000 people. So which is more likely? Which of those figures do you think is going to be closer to accurate if Kerry and Mayo play each other in either Castlebar or Killarney in this National Summer League? I suspect it'll be way higher than the 8,000, and it will be closer to the 30,000, especially on Kerry's home fixture. When you look at Tyrone versus Dublin, this is maybe more accurate, because both of their last games in both competitions were in the same venue. They were both played at Healy Park. The National League game in 2020 drew a crowd of 3,850. They met the previous summer in the Super 8s, which was a dead rubber, by the way. 15,315 people showed up to the same venue. So where are we getting the notion that figures will be closer to the 3,000 than the 15,000, because this will be in summertime. This will be far closer to the Super 8s model than it will be the National League model. And let's not forget that the Super 8s has been slammed by a hell of a lot of people as a failed mission, as something that people weren't interested in, that the crowds maybe were a little bit underwhelming. Like, that plays into the idea that O'Donoghue has had modest figures and utilised modest figures and made a modest prediction of where things will go. That if you're going to say the Super 8s wasn't great and people didn't really have any interest in that, well, then you have to accept that O'Donoghue can go along and use those figures, because they are modest at best, because this will be championship. This will be something that everybody goes into and has a real crack of getting out of their group. So I don't know, I would definitely be of the opinion that leaning towards the Super 8s figures was totally fair. Now, in fairness, the other point that is made here is with regards to juvenile and other concessions. As far as I'm aware, Conor Donoghue came up with his calculations from scratch on both fronts. So he would have said, right, it's 20 euro for a ticket in the summertime, and whatever, applied the ticket prices to the league as well. But he is also forgetting about juvenile and other concessions when it comes to his calculations for the National League and to the winter games, as well as to the summertime. So, yes, of course, there will be a greater degree of missing out on the juvenile or concessions there for the summertime. But he's also done it for the wintertime as well. As far as I'm aware, his maths were pretty consistent at both along both lines. So he hasn't forgotten the juvenile concessions just for this new championship. If you're saying that, I think he would have done so for the earlier part of the league as well. It's a small point, but it's an important one.
Well,
because
he did totally address it in the piece that he did with G about allowing for concessions. That's definitely, I mean, I'm assuming that the GA have seen and have gone through, I'm absolutely certain they would have gone through his full details outside of just the stuff that he said to the media. I'm sure they've gone through it with a fine-tooth comb. But he certainly did, when he was on with us, make a very big point of saying that he had addressed the concession side. You do wonder as well on like that, the just in terms of one of the other questions about it, like that we're, so number one, we're 8 days out from the special congress. Why are we only seeing the full insight into the finances behind it now? And also, like, the GEA set up the task force themselves. Surely a big lesson out of this is that next time we're looking at the shift in proposals, could we sit down once the proposals are done, and particularly given that the task force was set up by the GEA initially, surely straight away after that you're sitting down to stress test the finances of it collectively. Before anybody leaves the room, they're saying, right, that's part one of this done. Now we need to go and look at the finances. We need to look at attendances. We need to look at number of games. We need to look at media fees. We need to look at sponsorship out of this. Like, those factors for me are just so big. I just don't, like, they're significant weights on the balance one way or another. And they come to some sort of conclusion after Conor Donoghue was saying he was speaking to some big names out and about around the country who know about the commercial side or know about the media rights bit. Like, get your experts in, get people from media houses in, and stress that stuff. Next time there are a suite of proposals on the table, could we just do that bit? Because it's a big factor. Like, Jeremy Ryan's comments last night obviously carry massive weight. I'm sure they're, obviously the treasurers around the country will be taking that messages back to their delegates, and there'll be plenty of them picking up the papers this morning, or tuned into us this morning to see that this is what's coming from Croke Park. It's it's a big enough piece, I think, to have left this late.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Like, one of the other elements that's come up, and John Fogarty's obviously done a lot of work in this over the last 24 hours, is that we do have another important voice weighing in on the matter. Kieran Leddy of Munster Council has gone on the record to talk about all this, and it's actually kind of a double piece sort of approach to this in the Irish Examiner this morning. I might just start with his piece with Fogarty on the financial aspect of it. And, like, we should state here that it's great to see people like Kieran Leddy come out. He's the chief executive of Munster GEA. We had a similar situation with Brian McAvoy last week. And yes, you may disagree with Brian McAvoy, but he was one of a very small number of people who was willing to go on the record and say, this is why I think this isn't going to work. And that's great. That's what we want to see. So the same goes for Kieran Leddy this morning. And he's got a real issue with the financial possibilities of what happens with the Munster Championship. So that's his ballpark. And you've got to hear him out on this. Like, he talks about the possibility of the Munster Championship turning into the McGrath Cup if you put it earlier in the year. And he says that it could just turn into something where the figures, the attendance figures, will actually start to resemble the McGrath Cup over a period of time. Like, he mentions that the average attendance between 2017 and 2019 at a McGrath Cup game was 650, and one of those games included a Kerry Cork game which had 1500 at it. I was at that Kerry Cork game. It was the Kerry under 21s that played Cork on that day. I think it's probably important to point that out. Nobody gives a damn about the McGrath Cup. Mm-hmm. I think what's been proposed here is a doomsday scenario. And you know what? Somebody in charge of a province like that maybe has to look at the doomsday scenario. But maybe it's a little bit OTT. Will only 1,500 people show up to a Kerry Cork game in the early part of the year if they know it's the Munster Championship? I don't suspect that's the way. Expect it to be much higher than...
Stress testing is what we're talking about, right? But, like, stress testing is based in some modicum of reality. Like, the numbers that you're talking about there for full-on intercounty games at whatever level, they're just, as you said, the McGrath Cup is an irrelevance, as are a lot of those effectively pre-tournament games that are run off. I don't think there are really a basis for anything.
It's worth pointing out as well, just what he's saying about the finances. He talks about the €20 charge that Conor O'Donoghue would have used in his... Like, Phil O'Donoghue's name is being mentioned a lot here. He's just the guy who's had the wherewithal to actually put some figures on paper, because there was a complete vacuum of that. So, like, I mean, maybe he's getting unfairly... an undue amount of spotlight on him, maybe, as a result of this. But I mean, it's his figures, and it seems that they're still very, very robust. So he says that he doesn't see it being feasible to charge €20 for a preseason provincial championship competition, because it's a standalone round robin competition. He says, we charge €20 for a seat at our provincial round robin hurling championship, but that is the championship, and it's linked to the central council championship, whereas this isn't, which is a fair point. He says a McGrath Cup ticket is €5, so we feel €10 would be a more correct pricing for such a competition, and then mentions the same thing again about kids and concessions not being brought into proceedings here as well, which again, the previous point, you suspect that he would have used the same process to either ignore or take into account concessions when it comes to the provincial championships as the All-Ireland championships in the summertime. In fairness, I can see why people like Kieran Letty have this concern, and maybe more official figures would have actually changed that. It does seem that he's obviously got his finger on the pulse when it comes to the finances of Munster. There's absolutely no question about it in his position, so he absolutely knows what he's talking about. And it does come down to this fact, and it almost proves the suspicion that we had from the very start, that the thing that would decide this or break this was money and finance, and that is totally understandable, and that is the real sticking point that we're at now, as you say, 8 days out from Congress.
We could have done it all 2 years ago. All the details of these proposals are all available on the GEA website from 2019, as far as I'm aware. I just think that we could have got into this a lot sooner. Like, I also think, if I am Conor O'Donoghue this morning, or if I'm Eddie Sullivan, who chaired the group, I'm feeling pretty sore that they couldn't have collectively... They really collectively should have stress tested all this stuff and come out as one. If it's the task forces coming from within the GEA, surely they could have come out as one and said, here are the proposals from... There's the two sides to it. From the game's point of view, we talked about the fairness and the change that the GPA had mentioned. So it addresses that, and here's the reasons for that. And then over on the other side, it's got to make financial sense, lads. So we've had a look at that, and here's what that is. Now, maybe they've all been sitting on those numbers for the last couple of years, and they have been sort of over and back about it behind the scenes. But I would have thought that part of the specific remit of something like a task force like that's been set up, that once proposals are set in train, that the finances are run, and we come out and talk to people about exactly how they look.
Just one other point from the Letty pieces this morning. Just one quote here stuck out to me. He said, I wonder really what value will that be for Kerry, who are preparing for a Division 1 in the Championship. So he's talking about the provincial finals essentially running into the All-Ireland Championship. So what value will be in that provincial championship for Kerry, who are preparing for Division 1? And we would also be concerned as to whether broadcasters and so forth will have that much interest in the four provinces. Could we only see live Gaelic football on our screens from the end of April up to the middle of July? 2 points on that. First of all, as you've already said, that possibly could have been sorted out before now. Mm-hmm. The second one, that is an admission that the provinces are dead. That is an admission from the CEO of the Munster Council that their product isn't good enough to possibly attract broadcasters up until the end of April, which is why we are in this position in the first place. He has doubts that his competition will actually attract broadcasters. If people don't want to show your product is probably broken, and these conversations are really, really important to be having then. And this idea then that maybe more debate should have been had before now, this should have been a topic of emergency before now, you suspect.
Is he not saying that in the context of the new competition? So he's saying the current provincial championship is absolutely perfect, but this thing in the new format, now that wouldn't attract.
Of course, but it's still the same teams.
McAvoy point about you're killing the provincial championship is essentially...
Well, I think if you look at the Ulster Championship, if the Ulster Championship is on television early in the year, next year, are you going to watch it? Of course you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think this points to the weakness in the Munster Championship, and I would be surprised if the Leinster stakeholders and all this aren't thinking the same thing. I think, in fairness, Connacht is a little bit different. I mean, we would certainly watch a lot of Connacht football early in the year, but I think this points to the broken system that we have, and it's accentuated in Munster and in Leinster.
Yeah.
That's the specific point I mean here, that your provincial championship, if it was really absolutely essential and totally worth protecting, should be able to survive a shift to earlier in the calendar. But there are real concerns that that's not going to be the case. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It absolutely could be a reality where this thing totally fizzles out as a result of being moved to earlier in the year. We don't know the answer. But the person we've had on the record on this has been Niall Morgan, who says no. Not at all, but he's talking from an Ulster perspective, so it's different to Munster. I accept that totally.
Even from a Leinster football championship point of view, and we'll move on now, but even from a Leinster championship point of view, like the fact that it's been such a dead duck over the last couple of years, that in fact, I mean, you could make a really strong case that the Leinster championship is about to just get a little bit more competitive. I mean, it is going to get more competitive. It seems like it couldn't be any less competitive, of course, as it's been over the last 10 years, but you would feel that, and the evidence of last year, that the gap between Dublin and the rest are getting a bit closer, and so it might actually be worth looking at.
This is the thing.
But again, like when we're talking about the stress test, that's the thing that exists over here on the this is a possibility bit that nobody is even really talking about.
I think when we're talking about this, Adrian, we have to be straight up here. There is a fear in every one of us that this is the opportunity. There is, if there was some guarantee that Proposal B doesn't get through and the GEA will either look at Proposal B and try their best to make the amendments that will go some way to satisfying the real concerns that people like Kieran Leddy have and bring it back to Congress next year, I'm not sure there would be such even vociferous support for Proposal B, because there is this sense that when you get an opportunity at GEA Congress, you have to take it with both hands, even if it's only 80-85% of what the championship structure could be. Getting something that's 80-85% of what a championship structure could be is an absolute home run from my perspective when it comes to the championship structure. But maybe we should have more hope. Maybe this is the thing that sparks real conversation on a pretty fast-tracked basis to get something like this over the line over the next couple of years, because there is going to be a pretty heavy stick to beat a lot of people with come next summer, when we do see hockeyings in the Munster Championship, in the Connacht Championship, in the Leinster Championship, and even in the Ulster Championship, let's face it. And everybody will be like, oh, if only we voted in one of those proposals last winter. It'll be such an easy thing to criticise the powers that be with. So you'd like to hope that maybe this is the first step towards something, if this doesn't get through on Saturday week, and you'd have to say it's looking increasingly unlikely that it will get through Proposal B.
Yeah, and I would say as well that coming from a county that, like, you get very fatigued by the discussion about the championship through the lens of Dublin and Kerry and Tyrone and Donegal and Mayo. Like, somebody spare a thought for the rest of us who those conversations are just not real. And the reason that you're talking about grasping the nettle now for me is so important. And somebody is on YouTube this morning asking, why are the media pushing Proposal B so much? To ask Michael on YouTube. Like,
we don't get these opportunities very often, is the answer to that.
For me, it's not about the top 6, 7, 8 teams. It's about the rest of us who really have fleeting interest in the, like, it's you know, adapt another team and go and support somebody else. It's a lot of work been done over the last 20 years, obviously, with the backdoor side of things, that at least means it's not just one and done. But bloody hell, spare a thought for the rest of us. And for me, the reason that I'd be passionate about making sure that a proposal like this is at the very least discussed openly and honestly, and that everything is on the table about the, you know, to make an informed and as an informed decision as possibly can, is that, like, that suddenly there's an opportunity for the likes of Westmeath to get a whole pile of meaningful games that don't just depend on, you know, having to beat Dublin every year and then, you know, the look at the draw after that. Because it's been the Super 8s, it's the best thing about the Super 8s, this proposal for me, in that you get that journey around the country, you get the opportunity to take on teams at a similar level, but up to now, that's all been look at the draw stuff, whereas this is by design.
Can I ask you something as a Meath supporter? And Jeremy had this point the other day that yes, the television
to their own, but go on, yeah.
As what?
I'm definitely not a Meath supporter, but go on anyway.
What? Oh, sorry, Westmead Sheeny. Oh my God, I apologise. Whoa, God.
Cut that from just the podcast. Slur.
The West is silent. Joe was making the point the other day that the television figures are important. There's no getting away from that. Exposure in the media is important. But what's also important is people showing up and coming to these games. As we've seen over the course of the last 12 hours, it could well be the deciding factor in a lot of people's minds here, is people showing up. So how much more likely are you to go watch Westmeath in a league as championship game in the summer than a National League game in the winter, for example, or a Leinster Championship game?
Look, the short answer to that is very likely. The fact that there are more games, the fact that you'll be taken on, particularly in a Westmeath context, and every sort of county and every setup is different. There's a load of counties that neighbour around Westmeath, all of whom are at roughly the same kind of level. So there's that added little bit of rivalry. You're going to end up in the same pot as a load of those teams. But look, it's the opportunity to have the likes of me. I'll go to, I'm not making, if Westmeath get drawn against Kerry in the championship, as you know, the back door somehow in some sort of la la land, it's a long trip for me to be making to know that Westmeath are going to get beaten at the Gap by 20 points. I will and have gone to Croke Park on several occasions to watch them getting beaten out the Gap again by Dublin, but I'd far rather, I was at a club championship game in Hogan Park in Motorhome about 2 weeks ago with a couple of hundred people watching Athlone getting beaten out the Gap by St. Lomans. So this is something I'm well used to. But the point being that I'm more than happy to get down there. It was a crunch championship match where one team is going to get put back into the B championship and the other team was going to get was into the quarterfinals of the county championship. So it's the likes of me really who will try and get to six or seven or eight games a year and pay into them, that they really should be trying to tap into. And that's another reason why I would say that I know that Michael has some sort of conspiracy theory in mind here when he's wondering about the media pushing it, but personally speaking, that would be a big factor in my backing for it.
The other thing here, and this kind of plays into the coverage, is I think the last couple of weeks have really shown what 150 odd years, no sorry, 130 odd years can do to how tunnel visioned people can get. And that's not in any way saying that it's not a negative comment on anybody, that just happens when you have the idea of tradition. It becomes very, very ingrained, and it started to drip feed down into media coverage of the championship. So that I've seen some of this and say talk about Division 2, 3 and 4 spoken about it through the prism of the Sunday game. And I think Cathal O'Kane in his piece the other day had said that this new reality isn't going to change the fact that you will get 30 seconds of a Division 4 game on the Sunday game.
Yeah. And
the point is that why are we viewing this through the prism of what's already existed?
Yeah.
Why is the highlights show on a Sunday night still the thing that is the greatest vehicle towards great coverage? There's no Sunday night highlight show or Monday night show for the NFL when it's got 32 teams with 32 fan bases who all have an important game pretty much every week until the dead rubber starts to come along and at the end of the regular season. It's because there are too many games, and it's because that is just not fit for purpose. You could argue that Match of the Day probably is barely fit for purpose, but in fairness, it's soccer rather than Gaelic football.
That point that you're making there, there's nothing more frustrating coming from a county like where I come from than the end of week wrap of what's going on. My exposure to my own team, unless I'm getting out to games, which I said can be hard, is
but the highlight show format is not going to be good enough to satisfy people through this new proposal, if proposal B gets through. So to use that as some sort of stick to beat it with, I don't understand that, and I think everything needs to change. I think there needs to be a total shift in how people view how the games are covered and judging the value of your county based on how many minutes you're getting on the highlight show on a Sunday night. I just don't think is fair on anybody, and I don't think that's a fair argument whatsoever. Things need to change completely, and part of that is also factoring in how determined people are to actually show up to these games, as well as how many minutes you're getting on a Sunday night.
Shehan Lash is a Sunday game. That's
not at all. Not at all. I think it's absolutely hamstrung sometimes with what it can do. So it's more the reality of the volume of games that this would pose.